The morning of today's Daf Amud Basra is Yud Zayin. We are on the bottom of Tazayin Amud Beis, finishing up the first parak today of Baba Basra, starting the second parak. Discussion today, continuation from yesterday regarding Agadita, mostly yesterday's Daf Iyov. Iyov becoming the center of attention from yesterday, an extension from the Gemara that we that began really on Yudal Amud Beis. The Gemara there goes through Seder Tanakh, both the order of Tanakh and also the authorship of Tanakh, who wrote each one of the Sfarim, the 24 Sfarim of Tanakh, 5 in Chumash, 8 in Navi, Navi and Rishonim we would call them. Well, no, that's not true. Navi and Rishonim were the first four. But 8 in Navi and 11 in Ksuvim. So of the 11 in Ksuvim, the most elusive of them is Iyov. Iyov is not clear chronologically where he belongs, historically where he belongs. We were not sure whether he was Jewish or not Jewish. There is just a lot of ambiguity towards the identity of Iyov. Well, while we were there, the Gemara then went, basically took us through yesterday's daf to Zion, a very short tour of the Sefer. It's a long Sefer. It's 42 Prakim. And we basically just got Rashi Prakim, almost literally. Rashi Prakim. We just got some basic highlights of the Sefer, and the Gemara dealt with some very basic theological issues from Sefer Iyov. With that in mind, we're finishing up now. We're on the bottom of Tzayin Amud Beis, and the Gemara is segued into a discussion regarding the bracha that Avram got a bracha bakol. And what exactly did that mean? So the Gemara first had a discussion yesterday whether or not he had a daughter, he did not have a daughter. And the Gemara had a very interesting machlokas yesterday as to whether or not it's good to have a girl or not good to have a girl. And as the Gemara admitted yesterday, the world needs girls, meaning that just simply that's just part of the system. It's part of creation. We all need girls, but the Gemara says, is it good or is it not good to have a girl? And the Gemara over here does not discuss. The Gemara needs to discuss this. There is a way to it's not perfect, obviously, but there's a way to decide whether you're going to have a girl or a boy. But the Gemara had a really interesting machlokas yesterday, whether it's good or it's not good. The Gemara then segued into a discussion when the Torah says that Hashem beirachas Avram bakol. Does that mean that Avram had a good daughter? He did not have a daughter, and we had various opinions in terms of what that was. And we also had various opinions in terms of what exactly the bracha was that Avram received, that he had a bracha, that he was beirach bakol. We pointed out yesterday that Esav only went bad after Avram died. And we just went through that point yesterday, and we're going to make another point as well, and that is Yishmael did tshuva. And that was another bracha that Avram received, that is as difficult as the time he had with Yishmael, but he did tshuva. And that is what we're up to in the Gemara right now. We're towards the bottom of Tzayin Amud Beis, continuing. Sha'asa Yishmael tshuva, it's about 8 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Biyamav, right? That's the important part. That Yishmael did tshuva while Avram was still alive. Minalan, how do I know that? Kihad de Ravina, Rav Chama, Brabuzi, Aviyasvi, Kama de Rava. Okay, so we have a discussion of Amoraim in front of Rava, become a nam named Rava. Now Rava at this point in time was not paying full attention, tired, was a little sleepy, a little groggish, and so he was in and out of sleep. So somewhere between conscious and not conscious. So Amalei Ravina Rav Chamba Barbuzi Vade Darmenu Komisi Sheshbo Gvia Zui Misasan Shel Tzadikin. You'll know that when you find in the Torah both death and the word Gvia means basically it's a synonymous term in the Torah you're describing death, but it means like he was collected. So when you see somebody that said that he died and he was collected, so it's the reference to a tzaddik. Amalei in Vaha Dor Amabel Amalei. So Amalei, I'm sorry, Vaha Dor Amabel. So the Gemara says, yeah, but by Dor Amabel, so the Torah describes that they both died and there was Gevia as well. So the Gemara says, Amalei non Gevia Vasifa Kamrinan. So the Gemara says, no, the word Gevia by itself is not the telltale sign. You need also the words Gevia and Asifa. V'ha Yishmael dechziv bei Gevia ve'asifa. So now by Yishmael you have the words Gevia and Asifa. So on your thesis that every time the word gvia and a sefer there, so it's a reference to a tzaddik. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I got Yishmael, and we know he wasn't a tzaddik. So adahachi itar behu Rava. So Rava at that point in time now is woken up, meaning he wasn't totally sleeping. So he was half listening with one ear. And Amar lehu dardiki, and he says dardiki. It's not a complimentary term when he's describing the Amoraim. Dardiki gives a sense of youth, of, you know, not a seasoned Talmid Chacham. So he says, Dardiki, Hacham Rav Yochanan Yishmael Asa Tshuva, Bechai Aviv. I have a tradition in the name of Rav Yochanan that Yishmael did Tshuva. So yes, in other words, he was a tzaddik. In other words, maybe not his whole life, but certainly he did Tshuva at the end. Shenemar Veikbiru, so Yitzhak Vishmael Banav. So we know that Yitzhak and Yishmael were there for the burial. So Videlma Dere Chachmasan Kachashiv Lahu. Now, the note, right, the Gemara's observation over here is that Yitzhak came in front of Yishmael. And so it gives the indication that they're together. So the Gemara says, no, not necessarily. Maybe they're derech chachma. Some, maybe it was just simply an indication of the of order of chachma. Elamiata v'ikbur also Esav Yaakov banav. So the Gemara says, yeah, but when it comes to the burial of Yitzchak, it says Esav and Yaakov, and with Esav coming in front of Yaakov. So my time lo chashulu derech achmasam ela mida akdame adbure adbure. So the Gemara says, so you see that the fact that Yishmael came in front of, sorry, that Yitzchak comes in front of Yishmael, so that means then that basically they were together, and togetherness in the gives the indication that tshuva was done. Umida adbure shemamina tshuva ava biyamav, and from the fact that Yishmael allowed Yitzchak to go first, it's an indication that Yishmael did some form of tshuva. Okay, so basically now, going back to the thesis, so yes, the fact that by Yishmael it says that both he died and vayigva vayasof, so using all those verbs, it's an indication that Yishmael in fact was a tzaddik, and the Gemara says, and that's fair, meaning besof yomav he did tshuva. Tanu Rabbanan, the very bottom of Tezayin Amud Beis, so Shahitim HaKadosh Baruch Hu Balam Hazeh Me'ein Olam Haba. For three people, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him a taste of the world to come in this world. Elohein, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. So we have our Avos. Avos had a taste of Olam Haba in this world. Avram Dichsiv Be Bakol, Yitzchak Dichsiv Be Mikol, and Yaakov Dichsiv Be Kol. So you have the word Kol in reference to all them. Bakol Mikol Kol sounds familiar at the end of the benching. So you'll probably notice that whoever was Masada, the end of benching, it's really post-benching, right? Benching is four brachas. Ayah Chasreinu was the end of the fourth bracha, but okay, so but more tefillahs were added afterwards, and somewhere in the end of benching, so you basically see this Gemara encrypted into the end of benching. Right, Rashi goes through the Pesukim. I'm reading the top Rashi in Zayin Amud Aleph. Ba'avram k'siv v'ashem berachas Avram ba'kol b'yitzchak k'siv ochel v'ochel mikol b'yakov k'siv v'chi yeshli kol klomer lo chesru shim tova. So the word kol means that you have all good, and all good obviously is a reference to Olam Haba. So the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, so Mikol Yaakov Dichsiv Bei Kol Shlosh Shlosha Beim Yetzahara. So I'm sorry. That's it over there. We're going to get through a new list. Tosus over here is bothered by a very simple question. Tamele Rashba Amaylo Chashiv Nami Iyov Damal El Vasonos Raos Al Yedayim Malamid Shehit Ima Kosh Baruch Hu Meinol Hamama. So the Rashba points out that you don't have to have that far back a memory in terms of the Daf Yomi. You just have to remember yesterday's Daf. We said in yesterday's Daf that Eov also tasted world to come, right? We noted in yesterday's daf that he planted, and the same day that he planted, so it started growing. So, and that is Me'in Olam Haba. So, just in yesterday's daf, we have Eov. So, how come we haven't added Eov to the list over here? And the list only is limited to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So, back to Tosfos where he gives an answer. So, V'yesh Lamar De Eov Lo Haya Ela Bechad Milsa VaAvraham Yitzchak VaYaakov Nagu Me'in Olam Haba Mikol VeKol. So, Tosfos says that Eov's taste of Olam Haba was one dimensional. It was only one aspect. Masha'en Kain. By the Avos, they had a full, again, to the best of our understanding, a full complementary taste of Olam Haba.
What about the one with the seventh night to Olam Haba?
What is that? What is that reference to?
To being tasted of Olam Haba.
Who are you describing?
I don't remember. The one with the
I also don't remember. Okay.
Rabbi Levi took the sword of Satan.
I don't remember. Okay, here, I just don't remember.
He jumped over the wall.
Okay, and the good news is Tosfos didn't remember either. I don't know.
He jumped over the wall.
Okay, I'm sorry. Shlosha lo shalabem yetzahara Elohein. Three people. There was no shlitas yetzahara. The yetzahara didn't have influence on them. Avram Yitzchak Yaakov dechzibahu ba'kol mikol kol. Okay. V'yeshom remav David. Now, someone to add to the list of it as well, who didn't have shlita of the yetzahara. Now, that's of course very interesting, right? David Amelach certainly had a yetzahara. I mean, we all have a yetzahara. I mean, it's not, you know, David doesn't get exclusivity to the yetzahara. We all have it, but it's just interesting that of the people listed who doesn't have shlitas yetzahara, David is included in the list. The Navi says, "V'libi chalal b'kirbi, my heart is empty. Chalal, it's empty." So, and again, the idea over here is empty from the Yetzahara. He didn't have a Yetzahara. So, v'idach sarehu dekam matkir. Now, if you don't add him to the list, which is the Tanakama, so the pasuk over here just simply means that my heart is empty, meaning I had so much service in my life. That's why my heart is empty. It has nothing to do with the Yetzahara. So, Tosfos over here, just going back to Tosfos, third Tosfos over here. So Tosfos says, don't say that there was zero yetzahara. You're not going to get schar without a yetzahara. Meaning, the whole purpose while we're here is to fight a yetzahara. We don't want no yetzahara. And again, we all have a healthy yetzahara. It's a just a question of these three. So So basically, they had domination over the Yetzirah, but not to say that the Yetzirah was totally expunged. Tosu says that we're not even saying, the Gemara is not even saying that. Okay. Next, Tana Rabbanan, more or less to finish off the first parak of Baba Basra. Shisha lo shalah behem malach hamavis. There are six people where the malach hamavis and I have shlita over them. The Elohein Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, so with the first three. Then Moshe Aaron and Miriam. Okay, we're going to go over them as well. So the these are the people that there was no shlita of the malach hamavis. Avram Yitzchak Yaakov dechzibahu ba'kol mikol kol. So again, so as far as the avos are concerned, we're going to go back to the point that we made previously. Moshe Aaron and Miriam kidechzibahu al pi Hashem. So as far as Moshe Aaron and Miriam, so they died up Yashem, and so that means that they died without Malach Hamavis. They died without Malach Hamavis. So how did they die? So if you take a look at Rashi over here, Shaloshal Ben Malach Hamavis, Ela Mesu Benishika Apishchina. They died through a Nishika of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. They did not have the Malach Hamavis that necessitated their death. VaHamiriam Loksiv Be Alpi Hashem. Now by Miriam it doesn't say Alpi Hashem. Amar Avelazim Miriam Nami Benishika Mesa. She also died through Nishika. Daas Yasham Shami Moshe. We learn now through Gzir Shava. Umim Ne Malo Namar. So why doesn't it say Al Pi Hashem? Shiganai Hadavar Lomar. It's just it's pasnish. It's not appropriate to say it straight out, even though that's how it happened. It's just not appropriate. Now Tana Rabbanan Shiva Lo Shalab Em Rima V'Tolei'a. Okay, more on this giving lists of various special people in real exclusivity. So there were seven where after they died and their bodies in the ground, so they were not infested with worms and maggots. Ve'elohein Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov Moshe Aaron and Miriam. So we had all the aforementioned, the Avos and the three leaders of Klal Yisrael through the Midbar. Binyamin Ben Yaakov. We're going to add one more personality to the list over here, and that is Binyamin. Now Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov Dichsiv Bahu Bakol Mikol Kol. So here we're going to go back to the point of by them it says Bakol Mikol. And again, I'm going to share Rashi. Rashi over here explains how does Bakol Mikol Mekol have anything to do with Rima Vatolea? So Lo Chasru Shem Kavod Umatzino Kavod Zeh BeMoshe VaAaron SheNamar BeHen. No, I didn't want that Rashi. I'm sorry. Next Rashi. Kid Amaran SheMeisu Al Pishchina VeIn Ruya Rima Lishlo BeMishin Nashok Mishchina. Okay, Rashi over here says like this. if you're going to die without the Malacham Avos, but rather directly through a Kadosh Baruch Hu, through the Neshika, so then you're not going to get Rima Toleya. Why? Rashi goes on to explain. Sharei Eina Rima Ba'a Ela Mitipa Mara. Because the reason why we're infested with worms is because there is a tipa mara, some sort of bitter drop. Hamitaftefet mesakinus ha-malacham avos that comes as a result of the knife of the malacham avos. Amar mar, mimena meis, mimena masriach, mimenu panav marikos. Right? The deterioration, the decomposition, the maggots infesting the body, all is the result of the sucking of the Malacham Avos. So once you die, sans sucking, so then you are not going to be subject to any of this. Okay, and so we know, good. So that now already gets us through Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov and Moshe Aaron and Miriam in terms of how we know they were not subject to Rima Vitoleya. We have to add now one more to the list, and that's Binyamin, and how do we know? Dechsiv, I'm sorry, you're right. Dechsiv Bahu Bakomikokom, Moshe Aaron and Miriam, Dechsiv Bahu Api Hashem, Binyamin, Binyakov, Dechsiv, Ule Binyamin, Amar, Yedid Hashem Yishkon Levetach, Alav. So you have this idea that he was Levetach. He was lying in security. Lying in security, meaning the Gemara obviously is not understanding this as a bracha for his shevet, but specifically talking about Binyamin himself. He was in a state of security, meaning his body was untouched. They obviously didn't make the list. I mean, the other shvatim were not on the list. I hear you, but I mean, just saying over. Yeah, it's fine. It's a fair question. It's just they're not on the list.
You could assume that he also died the missing shikah.
He didn't make the list for that as well.
If he doesn't,
I understand your point, but he wasn't on that list. I'm just saying over the Gemara.
Even though he's the only one that's in the
whole topic. Right. Okay. Again, it's Yesh Omrim Av David Dichsiv Ach Besari Yishkon Levetach. Now, someone add David to this list as well. He also uses the word Betach in as a description, as a self description. So Ve'irach Ayirachamehu Dekabai. Now, the Gemara says no. If you're not going to add him to the list, meaning obviously the Tanakhama didn't. So what you'll say is that was just simply a petition to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, but not necessarily that. Kachaya, that's how it was. Tan Rabban Arba Meso Be'etch Yoshal Nachash. Four people died as a result of the snake. Now, what does that mean? Rashi explains. Ba'atzaso Shal Nachash Klamar Loha Yeru Yim Lamos. They really shouldn't have died. Meaning, we die because it's the result of chait, of our own sins. And so, four people were sinless. This Gemara is popular. People know this Gemara. But what can you say? People have to die. Meaning, and why? They die because as a result of Chet HaRishon. Ela Shenigzer Gzera Misa Kol Todos of Sha'adam HaRishon. Meaning, if you're a product of Adam HaRishon, which all of us are, so then that means you have to die. Batzaso Shanachav Be'ichio Targum Shal Atzaso. Right? As a result of the counsel of the snake. Snake made a suggestion to Chava, why don't you try from that tree? And why don't you eat some of that fruit? And she did, and Adam did, and okay, death was introduced to the world, right? And that's what the word et yaso means, and Rashi quotes the pasuk in Daniel, and so that means that on their own, because as a result of their own action, really they didn't deserve to die, but they're a product of Adam HaRishon, and everyone who comes from Adam HaRishon has to die. It's just the way the world works. And the Gemara goes on to say, who are these four? Ve'elohein, Binyamin ben Yaakov, Amram Avi Moshe, Yishai Avi David, and Kilav ben David. So, just as an interesting note, all of them were related to a leader, but not a leader themselves. Right? Hard to be chait free as a leader. And when I say hard, I mean impossible. So, but... it's just the collateral damage of having to be a leader. But those who are related to leaders, so they're in a position where they can be chait free. But when I say in a position, you know, in world history, we now are looking at four people. So Vekula Gemara. Now the Gemara says, now how do I know this? So the Gemara says tradition. Tradition is really the only way we know this. There's no pesukim. Lavar mi Yishai ben David, with one exception, that is Yishai ben David. Dechsiv. I'm sorry. The Mefarish Beikra. And for this, we have Pesukim. Dechsev. So here we're going to look at Pesukim in Shmuel. Shmuel base. Vesamasha Sham. Avshalom Tachas Yoav. Aleph Tava. Vamasha Ben Ish. Ushmo Yisra Yisraeli. Asher Ba El Avigal Bas Nachash. Achos Tsruya Im Yoav. So we have over here in a listing, in a genealogy, a girl by the name of Avigal Bas Nachash. Now this Avigal, not to be confused with the wife of originally Naval, eventually David, different Avigal. Okay, the name was used for more than one person, and I understand it's in the same generation. But this is now Avigal, who was the daughter of Nachash. Now v'chi bas Nachash uvalo bas Yishai. Now, what do you mean bas Nachash? She's not the daughter of Nachash; she's the daughter of Yishai. D'yichsiv, we go now to the parallel of Pesukim and Devar Hayamim, which is, by the way, chronology. That's Chronicles, I think, is the English word to describe Devar Hayamim. V'ach Yosehem, and the sister Tsruya, meaning the sister of David, which are Tsruya Avigail. So, meaning Avigail is the sister of David, meaning she's the daughter of Yishai. So, now let's put the two pieces of information that we now know. Avigail is the daughter of Yishai. Avigail is the daughter of Nachash. Oh, I get it. Now Nachash and Yishai are one and the same. It's a funny way to describe Yishai, snake. So, Ella Bas Meish, Meis Be'etcho Shal Nachash. So now we understand that we're supposed to darshan. And how are we supposed to darshan? Meaning that Yishai died because Atzaso Shal Nachash. Meaning he only died as a result of the snake, but on his own he was not designed to die. So that's the Gemara's point, that by all the other three mentioned in the list, Binyamin and Amram and Kilav, son of David, so for them we have Gemara, meaning it's just a tradition. But by Yishai, we actually have Pesukim that speak it out. And when I say speak it out, I don't mean explicitly, but through the Drush. Hajal HaChashutzen, that's the end of the first parak of Baba Basra.
Except that because of the law.
Okay, we start now the second parak of Baba Basra. And with the second parak of Baba Basra, just a quick introduction, if I may. Okay, we are discussing neighbors, as we've been discussing the first parak of the Masechta, and we're going to continue and basically write the first parak, if we can thematically put one sentence to describe the first parak, good fences make good neighbors. Right, it really helps. It really helps the relationship between two people if there's a wall separating the two of them. Okay. Now, if we are going to thematically describe the second parak of Baba Basra, it's basically like this. Even though we have two different properties, and even though we are separated, and a wall may even separate us, but still, in other words, there are certain things that I'm going to do that are going to be damaging to you. I put a tree down on my property. We all know that the roots are going to go into your property. And I'm going to dig a hole in my property, so that's going to weaken the foundation of your property. So even though we're separated by a borderline, and even though we're even separated by a wall, there are things that I'm going to do that are going to impede and perhaps even damage you. So now we have these two people, these two neighbors, and let's describe one as being a mazik and one the other one being a nizak. So now, who needs to distance themselves from whom? Is it the responsibility of the mazik to distance himself from the nizak, or just the opposite? Is it the responsibility of the nizak to distance himself from the mazik? And basically, that's going to be a big theme in the second parak of Baba Basra. Whose responsibility is to distance themselves from who? Now, we could say it very fundamentally. In other words, it's a machlokus.
Huh? Logically.
Now, right. In other words, right. If we had it right now, if we had a point to one person, so I agree with Phil, meaning that we say to the mazik, hey, look, you're not allowed to be a mazik, and so therefore you have to distance yourself. Right. On the other hand, it's his property. And meaning, and being that I'm a property holder and it's my property, so I'll plant a tree, and I'll plant a tree right up my property, right up against my property. And yes, in other words, the roots are going to grow, but it's my property. Okay, so, and we could say it right now fundamentally, it's a machlokas, meaning we're going to see the machlokas a number of times in the second parak, whether it's al hamazik or al hanizak, laharchik es asmo. Who has to distance themselves from one another. But as we will see over the course of this parak, we don't have to be so fundamental about it. Yes, it's a debate, but we're going to put some limitations within the debate, and we're going to try to formulate an understanding of how to approach this machlokas.
Does it matter who was there first?
Right, agree, yeah. Exactly. Okay. Meaning, right, those are the details in which we're going to fill in. Okay. With a pun intended. Okay, lo yachmor adam bor samach lebaro shel chaveira. I can't dig a hole right next to the pit of my friend. So in other words, I want to dig a hole in my property, right? Nowadays, you want it because of a pool. But back then, they were farming back then. They didn't live the leisure life that we do. So back then, they dug a hole because they wanted an irrigation pit. They wanted water. And so you would dig a hole in your property. So the Mishnah is teaching us that I cannot dig a hole in my property right up against the hole of my neighbor. Because ultimately, what's going to happen, obviously, is that now you have like this thin little piece of land separating his hole and my hole, and obviously it's going to crumble, and basically now I am damaging my neighbor's property. So the Mishnah is telling us I can't do that. No type of hole. And Rashi over here says, you remember, says Rashi, I taught you back in Baba Kama. Now it's fair to say I don't remember. But that's the fourth parak of Baba Kama. So Rashi says, you remember I told you all the different types of holes there were. If you quickly take a look at Rashi, bor is circular, siach is rectangular, ma'ara has a roof over the top of it. It's not just a hole, but it's kind of like a slanted hole into the ground with some sort of roof over the top. Anyway, but still, the point is all the same. You can't dig a hole in your property when it's just abutting your neighbor's pit that he already dug up. Velo, back to the Mishnah. Velo nivreches kovsim, right, I'm digging a hole in the ground because I want the water to fill in there because basically it's my washing machine. Okay? Before the conveniences of washing machine, so you basically dug a hole in your ground, water collected in that, and you went outside and you washed right there in the hole in the ground. So ela imkein hirchik mikoso chaver shlosha tfachim. So what you have to do is your friend already has a pit in his ground, and obviously it's buttressing the border. So what you have to do now is you have to recede into your property by 3 tfachim. Visad besid, and not only that, but you also have to add a layer of lime to your hole in the ground to fortify your wall, to fortify the ground. Or marchikin, okay, period. Okay, so adkan divrei ha-mishnah. I'm sorry, there's more obviously to go in the Mishnah, but as far as this first point is concerned, so when you're digging a hole in the ground, a pit, and your friend already has a pit that is a buttressing the border, so you have to recede into your property by a total of 3 tfachim, and you need fortification as well to it. The part that we're going to be working on, the second half of today's daf, is the Mishnah's introduction of the word kosel. Kind of doesn't fit over there, right? Ela im kein, I'm just going to read that last line of the Mishnah one more time. Ela im kein hirchik mikosel chaveiro. From the wall of your friend. What wall are we talking about over here? We were just talking about pits. He had a pit. I want to now make a pit. What is the word coastal doing over there? State. Oh, well, you already figured out the answer. Well, okay. You're right. I know. And you're going to tell me that, well, that's obvious. Okay. The Gemara didn't think it was so obvious, but okay. He's foreshadowing the Gemara coming up. So the Gemara is going to say what he said. He spoiled it basically. It's okay. I'm going to say what he said. I'm going to say over later. Umarchiking es a gefen ves a zeva ves a melch ves a sid ves a slayim mikoso shel chavero. Next, okay, I want to put down gefes, the leftover of the olives after I press the oil out of the olives. So now I got basically just the fruit of the olive, but not even dried olive. So vasa zevel or manure or salt or limestone or salayim. We're talking about rocks over here, but Rashi says not just regular rocks, but combustible rocks. So mikoslo shachaver shlosha tfachim. So all these things are corrosive in nature, and basically what I have to do now is I have to make sure that I don't put them up against the wall, because once I put them up against the wall that separates my property and the other property, it's going to damage the wall. So all these corrosive items have to be at a distance from the wall by 3 tfachim. Sad besid marchiken. I'm sorry. Osad besid. Okay, right, exactly. In other words, the girsa over here of the Mishnah is visad besed, and also you need fortification as well. Other things which are damaging to the wall, you plant seeds right up against the wall, it's gonna basically eat into the wall. The plow, meaning you plow up right against the wall. So Rashi describes how when you plow, basically you're causing tremors in the ground, and that tremors is that vibration is going to basically attack the wall and eat into the wall, and may raglaim, and you urinate, and the acid of the urine is basically going to eat into the wall. So you can't do any of these activities. You create, you have to recede and create a 3 tefach buffer between all these activities and the neighboring wall. Also, the rechayim, right, the millstone, and Rashi says same basic idea. Right, you're going to basically create, it's going to create a vibration, and that vibration is going to be detrimental to the wall. So you have to move them 3 tefachim away from the shechev, which is 4 tefachim away from the rechev. We already described that the millstone has 2 stones, one on top of another, and it's right, 2 kalim, 1 function. We already discussed this back earlier in the Masechta. Was that the end of Bava Metzia? It was at the end. Okay. Now I'm shaking my own memory. That was the end of Bava Metzia. So, right, when we talked about taking it as a collateral. Right, 2 stones, 1 function. Anyway, from our purposes over here, we have to just remember that the 2 stones didn't exactly line up one over the other. So one was bigger than the other. So it's you have to put the millstone 3 tefachim away from the lower stone, which is 4 tefachim away from the upper stone. Obviously, the upper stone was wider. Okay. Smaller is smaller. You're right. I was wrong. Okay. V'esa tonu shosha min akal yashin arba min ha-safa. And an oven. So there was a base for the oven. Rashi described the base of the oven being having a diagonal going inbound. So, and then what you do is you rested the oven on top of the base. And so as far as the base of the oven is concerned, shlosha min akalya. So at the top of the base, it's obviously more interior. It's narrower, which is 4 from the safa, which is 4 from the lip. Sorry. So in terms of the very bottom of the base, so it's 3 tefachim, which is 4 tefachim from the top of the base of the oven. Okay, anyway, again, same basic idea, that all these things which are damaging and or corrosive to the wall has to be kept at a distance from the wall. Okay. In the meantime, we're now going to go back to the beginning of the Mishnah, and we're going to analyze the first part of the Mishnah, and that is, I want to dig a hole in my property, but my neighbor already has a hole, and so therefore what I have to do is I have to recede 3 tefachim. Pasach v'bor mesayim b'kosa, and what bothers the Gemara right now is the language employed by the Mishnah, where the Mishnah started with a pin, and then the Mishnah went on to describe a wall. Like, what does a wall have to do anything over here? We're not talking about a wall, we're talking about simply 2 people, each one of them wanting to dig a pit. One already did, and the other now wants to dig, and he has to recede 3 tefachim. Why would the Mishnah then talk about hirchik me'akosel, chaver shosha tefachim? What wall are we talking about over here? So skip the parentheses, Amar Abayi v'item Rav Yehuda, mikosel baro shaneinu. We are not talking about the wall, we're talking about the wall of the pit. Meaning when you dig a hole in the ground, then you're going to have to add a wall. Right? Anyone see a pool go up? So you saw that. First, you dig a hole, and then you got to make a wall.
Use the word kier.
Right. Okay.
Which is the wall of the.
Right. But we hear that was the confusion, and the Gemara's clarification is that kosel barosh anino. V'lisneilim kin harchak mi barosh chaver gemel tefachim. So the Gemara says, okay, but why would the Mishnah want to confuse us? Why doesn't the Mishnah just simply say the word bor, and that's good? So akamash malan de kosel barosh shosh tefachim. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the Mishnah also wanted to make another point as well, and that is that the expectation is that the wall of the pit is going to be 3 tefachim, And so what the Mishnah now wants to teach us is that when you're digging a hole and you're making a wall for the pit, so that wall is expected to be 3 tefachim nafkamina. And the Gemara says, and why is that such important and valuable information? So the Gemara says, lamekachu memkar. So the Gemara says it's important to know because whenever doing a transaction, so there are default assumptions. If I'm selling you a boar, so it's understood that included in that is also going to be the 3 tefachim surrounding the boar. Because that's obviously necessary for the wall. Just give me 1 second. Kid Tanya, the Gemara quotes a brisa. Omer lechaver bor v'kosla ani mochalacha. If a person says, "I'm going to sell you a pit and its wall," tzarich she'ad kosel shosha tefachim. So the kosel has got to be 3 tefachim. Yes.
So in addition to make a bor, in addition to digging a hole, they actually have to build this designated wall within the bor to support it.
Yes. Yes, and you're right. In other words, it needs those 3 tefachim of support.
Okay. To be 3 tefachim away from that wall,
so it's really 6 tefachim in total. Correct. Itmar habalas moch bitzana meitzar. Okay, now, here we go. So what we learned back in the Mishnah is that we were discussing the Mishnah, you want to dig a pit and your neighbor already had a pit. But now let's go one step further, which is where we're headed for the remainder of today's daf. Let's say I'm digging a pit, it's in my property, but it's right up against the border. Do I have to anticipate that my neighbor also is going to want to dig a hole in his ground? And therefore, with that anticipation, do I have to recede from the border of my property so that I don't encroach on his area? And here comes the machlokas. So itmar abal lismoch b'tzad ha-meitzar, Abai amar samech, v'rava amar eno samech. So Abai says you can go up right to the border, and you can dig the hole right up against the border. And presumably, according to Abaye, you still have to provide the three tafach wall of the pit. But in other words, the point is that three tafach wall can go up right up against the border. And what about the fact that your neighbor now has to recede further? So Abaye will say, that's fine. That's his problem. I have my property. I can dig right up into my property. And Rava says, no. Rava says that you need to anticipate that if you're going to dig a hole in your ground, and you're going to dig it right up in the border, so that's going to encroach on your neighbor's property, because your neighbor will have to recede. You have to anticipate that, and you therefore have to recede yourself in anticipation of your neighbor wanting to dig a hole. Right, so I, that's a good question. I'm not sure. Meaning, does each have to have three tefachim, or is the three tefachim between the two? I'm not sure, and that's a good question. Or at least I think it's a good question.
But the other guy doesn't have a board and all of a sudden he wants.
Now, as I mentioned at the beginning of the parak, so we are now basically the first time in the parak we are touching on this issue of who is responsible to distance themselves from who. Is it the mazik's responsibility to distance, or is it the nizak? And what the Gemara now is providing for us is our first view of this very debate. Now the Gemara says, now let's put some parameters around this debate. Now, if this is the kind of field where we know we're going to put walls up, sorry, we're going to dig pits into the ground, and both of us are going to do so, so you have to anticipate. And as Rashi points out over here, what does that mean? That means basically that it's a field where I'm going to plant, and it's a field where he's going to plant. And we both need irrigation. And so therefore, we're both going to dig a hole in the ground. So even though he hasn't done so yet, I have to anticipate that he's going to do so. And so the Gemara says, and under those circumstances, there's no debate. But we're talking about a field where there's no anticipation that he's going to dig a pit in the ground. In other words, I don't see a reason why he would or why he should. So therefore, we have now a debate between Abai and Rava. Abai says, I can go right to the border. And Rava says, no. You must make room.
Now, you mean three tefachim would be in his neighbor's property?
No. Oh, no. In other words, no, you can't encroach on his property.
No, but the board would go right up to his property, but the property line, and the wall would mean three.
I don't think so. In other words, I would say that the wall is up to the property line.
That's
why does he have to anticipate?
Because now what you're forcing your neighbor to do is that when he digs a pit, if and when he digs a pit, he's going to have to recede into his property.
Same three tefachim as his neighbor.
No, the neighbor built the wall, and the wall was actually at the property line.
Right. And the other guy had to do three, and then the wall.
Inclusive? I mean, in other words, the wall is just simply part of the pit. In other words,
Right. Where that wall and whose property is it?
The wall, the edge of that wall is at the border. Mamish at the border.
Those three tefachim are in the so-called mazik's.
Right. In my mind, there's no way I can imagine that you'd be allowed to build the wall of your pit on your neighbor, into your neighbor's property.
And then, therefore, what does the nizik have to do?
So the nizik now is going to have to recede, meaning he's going to have to now back into his own property in order to build the wall.
Six. You'll have to get six.
Okay.
All six, right. Fucking from his property.
Okay, now let's go back to the Gemara. So if there's a good reason why I think he's going to also build dig a ditch, so then the Gemara at this point is saying there's no machlokas whatsoever. We are going to have to both recede. So, but if there's no reason why he's going to dig a ditch, at least I think there's no reason why he's going to do so. So now we have a machlokas. Abai Amar Samech Da'ino Asu Laboros. So Abai says you can dig your ditch right up against the border, because I don't see a reason why he's going to do so. And if he's going to do so, so he'll just simply recede. And Rava Amar Eino Samech Da'Amar Leiki Hechad Atim Lachta VeChafarta Ananami Mimlachna VeChafana. And Rava will say, no. Well, look, you think I had no reason to dig a ditch? I think you had no reason to dig a ditch. So now, and you ended up doing so. So much like you made the executive decision you're going to dig a ditch, I can also make such an executive decision. So you're going to have to anticipate, even though you don't see a reason why I would do so, you're going to have to anticipate that I would do so. Therefore, Rava says, both are going to have to recede into the property with the anticipation that the other neighbor is going to do so. Ikad Amri, the Gemara has another version of this debate, which is Besada Chenosu Laboros Devakol Samech. Here in the second version, if there's no reason why we're going to dig ditches, so then everyone, meaning both Abai and Rava, would say, go right up to the border. And keep Liki Besada Sula Boros. We're talking about where there's a field where I can imagine both are going to be digging ditches. Abai Amar Samech, Abai Amar Samech. Now Abai says you can go right up to the border and dig, even though I know he's going to want to do so as well. And Abai's position is, well, look, I got it first. First come, first serve. And, okay, I know you're going to dig a ditch, but I got here first. Now, here we go. And we are now going to learn that this machlokas Abai and Rava, it seems to parallel the machlokas between the Chacham and Rav Yossi. Meaning, we have a machlokas Tanayim in terms of whether there's a need to recede and anticipate that, hey, this is going to be damaging to somebody else. Now, Afila Rabban Darmen Marchik and Asayilam and Abura Esrim V'Chamesh Amah. Now, the Chachamim say like this, I'm going to plant a tree on my property. Chachamim say that I have to plant it interior to the border 25 amos. Now, obviously, there's variables, the type of tree and the amount the root is going to go in. You know, and we curse the ficus tree over here in Florida because those roots are aggressive, and they basically seemingly to me they don't grow down. They just grow horizontally. But okay, but anyway, that's part of the beauty and pleasure of living here in Florida. We have the ficus tree. But anyway. But let's just right now, 25 amos is the amount that you have to bring the tree interior to the border before you can plant it. So that's Shitas Chachamim. So Abaye says, look, I know about Shitas Chachamim, but I don't care. No, that's not the best way to say it. But it's not relevant to our discussion. Hasamud be'ina dekanata isa labor. So Avahacha be'ida dekachafar leisa labor. You see, because over there, when the Chachamim say that you have to bring the tree interior 25 amos, there already is a pit on your neighbor's property. So, right, and again, I'm not saying halacha, I'm just simply giving us a good way to think about it. Meaning, if my neighbor has a pool, and I plant a tree right up against the property, we know what's going to happen. The roots are going to go into the pool. So, there, the Chachamim say, I have to bring the tree interior to my property 25 amos. But over here, Abaye says, if I got to the border first, and I dug my hole first, so he didn't have anything in his property, therefore there's no problem. Rava Amarino Samech Aveafila Rav Yossi, and Rava says, look, you can't do it. If you know your neighbor's going to want to dig a ditch also, you can't dig a ditch right up against the property line. Why? In other words, not why. But even according to Rav Yossi, Damar Zechover B'soch Shalo V'Zenoteh B'soch Shalo. Now, even though it's true that Rav Yossi, who obviously disputes the Chachamim, and say that you can plant a tree right up against the border, and even if your neighbor already has a hole on his property, has a ditch in his property, I could still plant a tree on my property. That's true. Because at the time when you plant the tree, there were no roots as of yet. The roots will come later. It's almost like the argument of Grumma. Meaning, right now, be a dime, I'm not doing any damage. The damage is going to come at a later point in time, but it's not hezek be a dime. So Rav Yossi therefore says you're allowed to do it. I, admittedly, by the way, just between us, it's still hard to hear Rav Yossi. Yeah. Meaning, it's I'm just
like a
in other words, right? I admit it, and I'm acknowledging it's hard to hear the shita of Rav Yossi, but it is a shita, and that is that you can plant a tree right up against the border. So, but still, what Abaye will tell you is fine. I'm sorry, not Abaye. Right. Rava will tell you, yeah, but that damage is coming later. The damage is not coming now. But I'm going to tell you right now that I already have a ditch in my property, and every single time you are digging in your ground, you are actively harming that land between the two properties, and you are actively currently damaging me. So therefore, Rava will tell you that in anticipation of the fact that you're going to be digging a hole, so therefore I can't dig a hole right up against the property. And even, this is his argument, and even Rav Yossi would agree. Because Rav Yossi's position is only by roots that come at a later point in time, that's okay. Over here, you are actively damaging the property that separates our two borders. Okay, Tanan. Let's go back to our Mishnah. Let's review the Mishnah. The Gemara seems to make such a simple and excellent deal in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that if my neighbor already has a pit, so then I can't dig a pit right up against the property line. Which would seem to indicate a simple reading of the Mishnah is that if my neighbor does not have a pit and I got there first, I can go right up to the border and dig the pit right at the border of our property. So Bisham Alach Lishandam Rabbisadashenosulabaros Divrehakol Samech. So now, remember that we had the Machlokas to Bayan Rava, and we had two ways to say over the Machlokas. And if you say that if there's no anticipation that you're going to dig a hole, so then everyone says that you can go right up to the border, so Masisim Basada Chenosu Labaros. So then we can contextualize our Mishnah and say that our Mishnah is talking about where there was no anticipation that you were going to dig a hole, and that's why if you don't have a hole and I don't anticipate you're going to have a hole, I can dig a hole right up to the border. So then good. So we have a very good way to understand the Mishnah. But if you say that, even if there's no anticipation that you're going to dig a hole, still Mabai and Rava are debating whether or not I could dig a hole in my property on the border before you dug yours, so now what are you going to do with the Mishnah? Bishlam Allah Bayanich. Now according to Abaye, it's fine because Abaye says you can go right up to the border. But La'ala Rava Kasha. But according to Rava, it's going to be difficult because Rava says that I can't dig a hole up to the border. You don't have a hole yet, but I have to anticipate that you're going to have a hole, that you're going to want to dig a ditch. So therefore, what is Rava going to now do with the Mishnah? Amalcha Rava, Idmar Allah, Amar Abaye, Vitem Rav Yehuda, Mikoso Barushaninu. So he says, I'll tell you what you're going to do. What you're going to do now is you're going to remind ourselves what we learned earlier this morning, which is that even if you are of the opinion that you're going to dig a ditch to the border, but you're not really digging a ditch to the border. What you're doing is you're digging a ditch up to 3 tefachim of the border. What is going to be the rest? The rest is going to be the wall. So, and once you remind yourselves of that, so therefore there's not going to be a problem. Because I'm not digging a ditch right up to the border. I'm digging a ditch 3 tefachim of the water of the border. There's going to be a wall. Once you say that, so then we are totally in agreement with what the Mishnah is conveying to us. Ika de Amri. The Gemara now is going to do a second version of this discussion. And it goes like this. V'idmar la amar abai v'temar avyuda mikoto baroshaninu. So, the wall of the pit. So if you subscribe to the viewpoint that we should anticipate that my neighbor is going to want to dig a ditch, and under those circumstances I can't go up to the border, so we're talking, the Mishnah is talking about where I need to be anticipating that you also going to want to dig a ditch, and that's why I'm going to have to dig a hole in my property, but short, 3 tefachim short of the border, and the remaining part of those 3 tefachim are going to be wall of the ditch. But if you subscribe that, there's a debate. where the even where I anticipate that you're going to dig a ditch, want to dig a ditch as well, we still have a machlos between Abai and Rava. Bishlam al Rava Nicha. Now, according to Rava, it's fine because Rava will tell you that you have to recede. Ella Abai Kasha. But according to Abai, there's no, you don't have to recede. But our Mishnah says, seemingly says, you do. So Amlecha Abai Masis and Shabbat Lachbor Babas Achas. So Abai will tell you that no, that the Mishnah is describing a scenario where we're coming basically at the same time. Meaning, if we're not coming at the same time, and I got here first, so first come, first serve, says Abai. But if we are now both looking at each other, the border, hey, what are you doing here this morning? Hey, what are you doing here this morning? So then, under those circumstances, that's what the Mishnah is describing, and then under those circumstances, the Mishnah says, that's why you would have to recede. Okay, let's stop over here, and let's quickly chazer the daf. This morning we finished the first parak about Babasra, and we concluded with the bracha that Avram was given by Kol. One last opinion that we saw at the beginning of this morning was that Yishmael did tshuva in his lifetime. And then the Gemara gave us a list of people who had main olam haba, a list of people who had basically dominated the Yetzer Hara, a list of people who were not subject to Rima Vitoleah, a list of people who died b'neshika, and a list of people who had no chataim in their lifetime and only died as a result of atzas nachash. Okay, a list. The second perek this morning started with me digging a ditch. The Mishnah told us that if I'm going to dig a ditch on my property and you already have a pit, I have to recede and dig the ditch interior to my property so it does not serve as a means of affecting and compromising your ditch. And then the Mishnah gives us a list of things which are corrosive and damaging and or damaging, and therefore I have to go interior to my property, and so that does not damage your property. A machlok is between Abai and Rava. If I got to my border first, can I dig a ditch right up to the border of my property? Abai says yes, Rava says no. And then the Gemara contextualizes the debate. Are we talking about where I should have anticipated that you're going to want to dig a ditch? Are we talking about where I had no idea that you're going to want to dig a ditch? And whether or not Abai and Rava are arguing about those cases. And then our Mishnah, where our Mishnah clearly is talking about where I'm digging a ditch after I see you already have a ditch over there. But what if I'm digging a ditch before you got there? So again, the Gemara tries to understand the Mishnah in the context of the Machlokes between Abai and Rava.